This is Jim Inkster. Good morning. You're listening to Talk Louisiana on WRKF. Matt Doyle is producing, and we start our day today with two distinguished professors from Louisiana State University. Brooks Elwood is professor of geology and chair of the Department of Geology at LSU, recognized nationally as one of the best in the nation. And in addition to being a distinguished researcher who has investigated topics such as the history of LSU's Indian Mounds, Brooks is the first vice president of the American Association of University Professors, the preeminent professional organization for academic professionals in the country with 40,000 members. And Ravi Rao, alumni professor of physics at Louisiana State University. He conducts research into topics underlying quantum computing and other forms of advanced information processing. The author of the popular book, The Beauty of Physics, Patterns, Principles, and Perspectives. He has been at Louisiana State University for 45 years. 45 years. He was there before I enrolled. And Brooks Elwood's been on the campus at Tigertown for 20 years. And good morning to you fine gentlemen.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
Do you go to the football games?
I circle around outside, but I've only been to a few.
Well, there's a big one coming a week from Saturday.
That's right.
Alabama.
Yeah. Ravi, do you go?
No, I haven't, actually. I confess.
In 45 years.
Both my sons were and are still avid Tiger fans, but I still haven't gone to a football game.
In 45 years. Well,
that's
we need
right.
to change that.
Yes, perhaps.
So, but you're busy in other endeavors at LSU, and tomorrow there's a major event with a nationally and internationally regarded higher education commentator, Chris Newfield. We'll talk about that. But based on what's going on at LSU, we often hear about the brain drain, but as Hugh Buckingham has stated, there is the brain remain. Many of you stay, despite, I'm sure, opportunities to go elsewhere. Why have you stayed the course for 45 years, going back to the year, I guess, of 1973?
74 January I entered LSU, that's right. Well, I don't know. I guess it's mostly circumstances. I have been out a lot on sabbaticals and long-term visits during these years, but LSU has been a good university, and my department in particular, I would say, found it very congenial from the beginning. So I have stayed.
And Professor Elwood, 20 years for you. You've taught at other places, but you've stayed the course here for two decades.
It's a good place to be. There are outstanding students here and outstanding faculty in our department. We have a good facility, and there's flexibility to do the kinds of things we like to do.
I mentioned that you are an authority on LSU's Indian Mounds. They've been around a little while, haven't they?
Yeah, that's where are you getting that at? Yes, they have.
How long?
How long? Well, let me put it this way. They are the oldest, based on dates that we have now, the oldest man-made edifices. Both of them, the A and the B mound, in the Western Hemisphere.
The LSU Indian Mounds.
That's correct.
The oldest man-made
edifices, structures.
Yes, gotcha.
And that's older
in
than
the Western Hemisphere.
Older than in South America, older than in Central America, much older, of course, than the Egyptian pyramids, much older than Poverty Point, much older than Watson Brake.
So we're going back a few years.
Yes, sir.
How far back?
We're writing a paper to Science on this. The dates we have basically place the mounds at something like 9,000 years.
9,000 years. That's a long time.
Now that I've said that.
Well, there's some people listening who probably don't even believe the Earth has been around for 9,000 years, but you've tagged it. 9,000 years of the LSU Indian Mounds. That's a lot of football games at Tigertown.
That's right.
Dr. Rao, tomorrow, 3:30, the Law Center, room 110. This guy, Chris Newfield, he, in your world, is a huge authority.
Yes. He wrote a book called The Great Mistake, How We Wrecked U.S. Universities and How We Can Rebuild Them. And it's a very well-written book. He's been a professor for a long time at the University of California, Santa Barbara. And he's also served on various faculty governance, including budget matters and so on. And they have, of course, also gone through a lot in the last 20, 30 years. And so he has analyzed carefully the funding of universities, the increased tuition and fees, and then the student debt, and all these sort of interconnected things which have changed the complexion of public universities, especially in the United States in the last, let's say, 30, 40 years.
And Dr. Elwood, he believes, Chris Newfield does, that there has been great damage done to public universities and universities as a whole because of so-called private sector models. What's going on?
That's a difficult problem, and it's a difficult question to answer. It's driven by money. There are a lot of really important things that could be said. Research could be done, that sort of thing. That's a difficult question.
All right. Well, he is a professor of literature and American studies at the University of California at Santa Barbara, so he has an interesting background to be considered an authority on the mechanics of higher education.
Correct.
But you've been around for 45 years at LSU, Dr. Rao. How are things different now than they were in 1974, and has it been a change for the better?
Actually, yes, it's very true. I think at LSU, I've seen locally, and I've been a little active in speaking up at various times, but I see very similar things to what he describes in his books and his writings. And so in some ways it has happened elsewhere as well. But talking of Louisiana in particular, there's no question that this withdrawal of support from the legislature and the governors, especially, let's say, in the last 10 years before the latest governor, has damaged significantly the whole structure. Because when you withdraw public support like that from the legislature, of course, it means that the universities respond by raising tuition and fees. And in fact, the largest increase in the nation, almost the highest in the last 10 years, has been in Louisiana. And it's true that we started at a low base, so the administration still talks of it being a good buy, mm-hmm. but it has meant increased student debt and all these things we hear on the national stage, also locally.
Well, you mentioned student debt.
Right.
That's a major issue all over the country, and it is substantial when these young people start in the hole.
Right. And it is untenable. It really is untenable, both in terms of what is being said. We've talked of other financial bubbles, but there's this huge student debt loan bubble, if you wish, and it can't keep going like this. And it's really very wrong anyway, because the whole idea of public universities was, in fact, to make higher education affordable and available. Because it's a public good. It's not just that the student who gets a degree benefits from it, but the public as a whole gains something from it. And this was the reason, for mm-hmm. instance, that the Morrill Act and President Lincoln and his politicians of his time, even during such a thing as the Civil War, started the whole idea of public universities and research in agriculture and mechanical, as it was said at that time. It was seen as a role good for society.
How can this be addressed?
Well, that's one of the things Chris Newfield, I think, has done a very good job, because the title of his book is not only How We Wreck Public Universities, but How We Can Rebuild It. And he actually gives very specifics, even in terms of the fundings from both the state and the federal level, and that we can actually go back, because as he sees it, it's in some ways a fault of the universities themselves for having withdrawn from selling what the role of public universities is. Mm-hmm. And so we can ourselves also reverse it. And so, in fact, he has a book with the title that by 2050, one can indeed reverse. And he has very specifics. There's a thing in California called the $48 fix, which is roughly that $48 increased tax per individual would pretty much reverse the billions of dollars which are needed now to rebuild the California system, let's say.
Well, as we look ahead, you say this is untenable. Something has to be done, but we here in Louisiana, the TOPS has somewhat offset the problems here that are more evident in other places. Is that an accurate assessment?
Well, TOPS, in a way, also distorted. It actually shifted in a sense. So instead of the universities getting the funding, it was supposedly going straight to the students and their families. But that actually meant and almost an excuse for the legislature to withdraw some of the funding, direct funding that universities should have had. Mm-hmm. So it actually meant less flexibility in a way.
Are most of your students on TOPS?
Almost everybody in our campus, yes, in Baton Rouge, mm-hmm. I think is on TOPS.
Dr. Elwood?
Yeah.
Yeah, everybody.
Not everybody, but...
Just about everybody.
The graduate students okay. aren't.
Yes.
Well, Chris Newfield, one of the foremost higher education commentators in the world, will be at the Law Center at LSU tomorrow, 3:30, room 110. Thank you, Dr. Rao. Thank you, Dr. Elwood.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you very much.